I love that song. I stand here this morning because God is love. And we sit here this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ because God is love. Beautiful statement. On Wednesday night, during the week, just really had on my heart the message this morning. But every time I preach, not just this morning, every time I preach, there's this nervousness inside of me. And I just want to handle the Word of God with the respect and dignity and honor that it deserves. And so I was really focused on my lessons this week. And then I had a meeting with the elders Wednesday night. It was a really good meeting. And I left and I was weary and tired. And one of my favorite things to eat is Jack in the Box tacos. I think they put something in it that's kind of addictive. Maybe, I don't know, but I usually go and order 4 tacos, a large iced tea, and an order of mini churros, which are also addictive. But anyway, I was on a mission. I was tired. I was kind of weary. My mind was weary. And so Debbie was meeting with her daughter and having dinner with her daughter before she took off to Indiana. She works with the swimmers and stuff, does massage therapy for them for the University of Texas. And so she was having dinner with her. I thought, well, I'm just going to go have some quiet time. I'm going to go grab some tacos, and then I'll head home and see my sweet wife. And I walked into Jack in the Box in Georgetown. They shut all my ones down that were close. There was 2 in Cedar Park. They're gone. There was 1 on 620. It's gone, and now I'd have to drive to Georgetown to get them. So sometimes it makes for a fast lunch. But I drove to Georgetown after Wednesday night services. And I walk in, and there's this gentleman standing up against or in front of the counter looking like he's waiting to order. So I walk in and I just stand there and I said, have you ordered? And he said, no. And there was something that struck me about him. I can't tell you exactly what it was, but it was like, there's something different. I don't know. God placed something on my heart. And so I go, he says, go ahead and order. So I walk up to order and I say, I want my 4 tacos and iced tea. And I didn't get mini churros because I thought all that sugar late at night probably wouldn't be a good thing. So I ordered, and then I turned around and said, and whatever this gentleman wants. And God just did that. I mean, he just put that on my heart to say that. Here I was expecting to go on a mission, have my tacos, have some quiet time, and then head home. And this gentleman says, you want to buy food for me? I said, yeah. And he says, okay. And he orders an ultimate cheeseburger. And he says, I'll just wait here with you till the order comes. I said, okay, sounds good. And then the order came. And I figured he'd take his hamburger and go sit down. And I'd go sit down. He said, do you mind if we sit and talk? I said, sure. And we sat and we talked about God. He said, the first question he asked me is, why did you do that? I said, I don't know. I said, God placed that on my heart. I just wanted, I don't know. I just saw you and something said, I need to get this man food. And he was wearing kind of a military jacket and, you know, he maybe wasn't dressed the best. I didn't know what his story was. But there, God just placed this on my heart. So I just sat down and we just started talking and found out that he goes to church. He's not married, doesn't have any children, pretty much alone, and he's probably in his 40s, and his name was Thomas. And so I got to sit for about 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes and talk with Thomas about his life. You know, I don't know if I made any difference in his life, but I hope and pray that by our conversation that I planted a seed of hope in him. And sometimes when I look at the life of Christ and his relationship with people, he was always on a mission. God gave him a mission. And even when it looks like his mission might be interrupted, the interruption became part of the mission. What was Jesus' mission? Luke 19:10 says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That was His mission. As a result, we have been saved. I talked this morning about Jonah, and I talked about sometimes people we call enemies. I use the word Muslims, and Muslims are just a people, but sometimes there's Islamic extremists. There's people that we consider enemies, and Jesus would say, "Love your enemies, bless those that persecute you." But we were like the Ninevites. We were like those people that Jonah didn't want to go minister. We were like that. And Jesus came to save us. He came to seek and save that which was lost, which was us. And if you, just a simple reading of the Gospels backs this up. Jesus was a man on a mission, but He didn't overlook the fact that people were His mission. And I have a feeling that sometimes we get so busy we don't see people. And I'm so glad, I don't know why, I'm so glad that I saw Thomas. And it wasn't because Witt's a good guy, because Witt's nothing. But I'm glad that God in His Spirit within me allowed me to see him. Because I think he was really lonely and he just wanted someone to talk to. And whether I planted a seed of the gospel or not, maybe I met a need in his life just for that moment. Because our life is made up of moments and opportunities, and oftentimes I'm afraid we don't see them. Jesus had a ministry of interruption. And if you're his, you will too. You can either love your schedule or you can love people. What do you love? I sometimes like to think that the Gospels are really just an account of Jesus walking from town to town to preach. They're so rich because He can't leave one town without getting interrupted. And He can't enter another town without getting stopped. People never leave Jesus alone. And we know He often went away. He often went to places so that He could have that time with His Father. Today, I want to just look at Mark chapter 21 through verse 43, and it's the story of the healing of two different people, one of whom interrupted him on his way to his original purpose. In Mark chapter 5, it starts in 21 is where we're going to begin. When Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. So there was some intent there. There was some purpose there. He was going to be talking to these people. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please, please come and place your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. Jairus' plea was more important than what Jesus was doing. Jesus saw Jairus and saw his need. So a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who was subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. So she was living in poverty, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, I just kind of want to stop with that phrase for a moment. When she heard about Jesus, there was something inside of her. I think of the first time I really heard about Jesus and the way it changed my heart. When she heard about him, she came up behind him in the crowd trying to get in all these people around him. She's trying to just even touch him, just to get close enough to reach out and grab him. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Can you imagine how she felt? It was like, all I've been through and all it took was to just touch his cloak. Just to touch him. And I don't know about you, but I long for that day that I can just touch my Savior's cloak so I can reach out to Him and hold on to Him. Because sometimes this life is hard, and sometimes it's bitter, and sometimes it seems angry. And we give all that we have to try to find peace, and all it really takes is grabbing onto His cloak. She thought, I will be healed. At once, verse 30, Jesus realized that power had gone out from Him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? I don't think it was an angry thing. I think it was like, who was that? Who was it that touched me? He felt the power go out of Him. You see the people crowding against you, His disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? All these people touching Him, all these people against Him, they probably had needs too, but that's not where their heart and mind were. They were probably interested in what's Jesus going to do about this girl. They weren't thinking about maybe their own need, but this woman, all she wanted to do was just touch Him. And so she did. Verse 32, Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, she came and fell at His feet, and trembling with fear, she told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. I want us to think about the fact that when we came in contact with the blood of Jesus, when we touched Him in that way, that our faith healed us. That we were freed from suffering and the light of sin that's in our life. The Gospels are so rich and the words of Christ are so deep that everything that He says can mean something within us and can change us and transform us so that we are set free in stages. Verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead. They said, why bother the teacher anymore? Not very compassionate towards Jairus and his situation. But Jesus was. Jesus, overhearing what they said, told him, Jairus, don't be afraid, but believe. I'm sure when Jairus heard those words, it just pierced him. Can you imagine losing your child? And yet Jesus is the only one. He is the only one that can offer hope when we find ourselves in those kind of situations. Don't be afraid. Just believe. He did not let anyone follow Him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. And I think about us when tragedy or when things strike us. There's all this commotion, there's all this wailing, this being overwhelmed. When we know, when we have been given the promise that this is not all there is, that there is life with Christ after this. There is glory after this. But I see Jesus coming in, and I think He feels their grief, but He's going, wow, all this commotion, the child's not dead. I'm here. I am life. And I'm coming to show you the life that I give. Verse 40, they laughed at Him. After He put them all out, He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with Him and went in there where the child was. And I can see this gentleness in Jesus, this passion for people as He reaches and He takes the little girl by the hand, Talitha cum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. And she was 12 years old. And I think about our 12 years old around here, if something like that happened. The touch of Christ resurrects her. At this, they were completely astonished. And he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them, give her something to eat. We can find many examples of this ministry of interruption in the life of Christ, as well as in the life of the apostles. Always seeing people. They always were looking for opportunity to make a difference. And let me tell you what, loving people is not efficient. It doesn't often accomplish what we want to accomplish. Why? We are all flawed. We are all in need of a Savior. But those of us who call ourselves Christians, who have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, should see people like Jesus saw people. Are your eyes open, brothers and sisters, to those around you, to the opportunities that God is affording you to make a difference in someone's life for the glory of the gospel? This morning in Bible class, someone mentioned our World Bible School. And now we have an internet World Bible School, and maybe we could teach someone across the globe the gospel. And you don't have an idea of how the kingdom might grow because of that one person. Do you see people? When Jesus went to the shore of the Gerasenes and the man was demon-possessed, and he cast out a legion of demons out of him. And the man said, I want to go with you, Jesus. And he said, no, stay and go tell everybody what God has done. And later Jesus comes back and he feeds 4,000 people because of one man. Don't tell me that you reaching one person doesn't make a difference. Are you looking, church, at people? I think most of ministry happens in the interruption. I think, in fact, God must really enjoy messing with our hard thought plans. I think He does that. In my years of ministry, when people have asked me what my mission statement or my philosophy of ministry, over the years, God has led me to this point where I say, if God can use me in someone's life today for His purpose and for His glory, it's been a good day. You want to know that my purpose and my mission, that's my mission. And every day God opens doors of opportunity for me to talk to someone about our amazing God and our amazing Savior. I never know from one day to the next how God will use me in this place. And you know what? That's part of the adventure of being a minister of the gospel. But you know what? It should be a part of everyday Christian life for each of us. I believe it's critical for this church, our members, to have this perspective. To allow God to interrupt our agenda, our jobs, and our lives with His agenda and His call for us. So is God calling us? Absolutely. And what is our purpose? Are we willing to be interrupted so that the kingdom might be furthered? Or have we become caught up so much in our own needs and our own wants and our own agendas that we can't even see His call, that we can't see His will, that we can't see people? Let me tell you what. You were bought with a price. You are a people for God's own possession. You have purpose for Him in this world. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, and then 6 and 7, it says this, but now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, and we are now the church he calls. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Verse 6, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And that light is what helps us to see people. He summoned us. We are His. We have been created for His glory. Living to glorify God means doing everything for Him, His way, to point to His greatness, to reflect to His glory. This was said by, I don't even know who he is, but his name's Joshua Hams. But he's absolutely right. You were made by God and for God. And until you understand this, life will never make sense. It just won't. My question for you this morning is this. Are you willing to be interrupted for kingdom purposes? Do you have Christ vision? I really believe that if we have Christ vision of people, this church will not only grow, it will explode. Because you are a child of the King and you have the glory of the gospel in you. And all it takes is caring and seeing people, caring about and seeing people. One person at a time. That's my vision for this church. That we'd stop being worried about our own agendas. That we would have the vision of Christ. I believe the call to live daily for Jesus is something we have to be reminded of continually. And His holy word, what we read this morning, is that reminder. There's power in the Word of God. Maybe there's someone in this audience this morning that needs to interrupt the service. I think sometimes we walk away or somebody comes up and, oh, well, we have lunch or we have dinner on the table or we have something else we have to do. And someone comes forward and we're going, oh, well, I wonder how long this is going to take. Concerns me that sometimes that may be our mindset. But maybe someone needs to interrupt us this morning because they have a need to touch Jesus. Maybe they have a need to touch His blood in the waters of baptism. And what a glorious interruption that would be. Are you willing to be interrupted for kingdom purposes? For the kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you what, lunch can wait, our schedules can wait. Because kingdom purposes far outweigh whatever we have planned. So this morning, if you have a need, you interrupt the service, you come forward. If you want to give your life to Christ, what a great opportunity, and we will celebrate you. It will not be an interruption for us. Because that's who we are, and that's what we're about. We're about kingdom things, like Jesus is about kingdom things. So please, if you have a need, come this morning while we stand and sing.